Romans chapter number 16, it's my privilege to be here, and I always love coming up to see family and friends and people I've known for years, and my wife is back at the house right now with Kelly, our daughter. She's three, and our youngest, and she's sick right now, got a little cold, and so she's there, her and Silas and Kelly, but they'll be here Sunday, and I've got Titus and Zoe with me, my two oldest here. My son Titus is now a teenager, and he is in eighth grade, which makes me feel super old. And Zoe's 10, fourth grade, and so I'm glad to have them with me today. I was thinking about this as I was getting ready to preach. If you came here tonight to hear Pastor Ray, you probably, I'm thinking of the Evans family. You came into town, can't wait to hear Pastor Ray, and then me. So I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't do that to you, okay? But it's good to see them, friends. James was my first ever bus captain in Bible college. And thankfully, I unlearned everything he taught me later. I really got fit. No, I'm just kidding. But it's good. And Julie, I've known for a long time. The whole family, I've known them forever. And since my first year of college, that's a long time ago. But it's great to see you folks here. I was thinking about, as I was sitting down with my kids, I was like, wow, this church has even gotten more spiritual than before when I, last time I was here when I left. It's gotten even a greater level of spirituality. I've never been to a church before where people are already reserving their places at the altar. Like, I've never seen, there's like a kneeling down thing here already. I mean, I've seen places like reserve spots for visitors, but who's the VIP that gets to come to this tonight? I mean, like, you already have it there. That's great. I think that's awesome. So, hey, you know, more power to you. But I want to preach out of, well, I don't think I'm allowed to preach tonight. I think it's only I'm allowed to challenge, okay? So that's what it's going to be for the next 20 minutes here, if that, okay? But Romans chapter number 16, you know, every year as pastors, we preach on Thanksgiving and we try to come about it in a new way. And it's difficult, you know, to try to, and then Christmas time and all that. But God gave me a thought recently that was really convicting to me. And I thought it would be maybe a blessing. And the first, there's 2 points to the message, right? I'm not a good Baptist. I don't have 3 points tonight. But I do have two. And the first thought is, I think, maybe a little convicting. The second thought, maybe a little comforting. But I hope it's a blessing. We're looking at Romans 16 tonight as Paul is closing out this super important message, letter that he wrote to Roman Christians about. Really, the whole thing's about salvation. It's just the greatest letter or teaching ever received here about that topic. And he's closing it out. And as he ends, he is doing something at the end of the book here in chapter 16, which I want to talk about. I want to pray, but let me say this. If you look up the word thanks in the thesaurus, some of the synonyms for the word thanks, one of them would be the word recognition. I want to use that word tonight to speak for just a few minutes. Father, bless this time we have together. Thank you for this amazing church. We're all looking forward to pie, but I pray before we get there, you'd speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's look down here, look at Romans chapter 16, verse 1. I commend or recommend unto you Phoebe, our sister in Christ, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Now, what's he doing here? He's saying Phoebe is our sister. She's saved. She's a servant. And he begins to commend some people. He begins to give them letters of recommendation, so to speak. But he's also kind of bragging on them. Look at verse 2. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer or a helper of many and of myself also. So he's bragging on her, and he's telling the Roman Christians to recognize her and to recognize what she has done, what she's done for other people, what she's done for the church there at Cenchrea, and what she's even done for the Apostle Paul himself. He's saying, look, I want you to know this lady is top-notch. She's done some stuff for me. She's done some stuff for others. I want you to recognize her. Look at verse number 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in the Lord. So now he's talking about people that have helped him again. And he says in verse 4, now here's the text verse, who have for my life laid down their own necks. So they were risking their own their personal lives in order to help Paul. So he was saying, look, I want to tell you about Priscilla and Aquila. Greet them for me, but these are people that risked their lives for me. And look what he says next here. He says, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, I read all the verses in the Bible that I could find with the word thanks in it. And I probably missed something, but every other time I saw the word thanks used, it was reference to God. I want to thank God. And I understand that he's thanking God for people here, but he is also saying, I want to thank them personally. And he's saying, I want you as a church to know, or you Roman Christians to know, that I am publicly thanking these people. I'm publicly recognizing them. And all of the churches where I'm able to go serve, I'm able to do it because of people like these people. What's he doing? He's publicly recognizing what other people have done for him. Paul could have been like, hey, I'm doing it all. You know, I'm the greatest missionary to ever live. But he never was like that. That's what made him a great Christian, right? He's talking about giving thanks. So I want to talk about two types of people tonight. Okay, here you go. We're going to jump right in. First of all, there are those who should be recognized by you. There are those who should be recognized by you. Should be recognized. Part of being a thankful person is recognizing what other people have done for you. Part of being a thankful person is recognizing what other people have done for you. Hey, we're going to go across the hall in a couple minutes here, and you're going to have pie. Who's here for the pumpkin pie tonight? Can I see it? All right, how about the pecan pie? Okay, if you say pecan, leave immediately. Okay, you're not allowed to say that. How about apple pie? Anybody for the apple pie? All right, what else are you guys eating? Cherry?
Amen.
Cheesecake? What's out there? I don't know. Some of you are like, I hate pie. Okay, great. Glad you're here tonight. All right. But I wonder tonight who cut the pies. I wonder who set up the tables tonight. I wonder who's watching your children tonight so you can enjoy a service. Sometimes we overlook what other people are doing for us.
Good. Good.
Hey, let me ask you some questions. Who serves you? Who helps you? Who encourages you? Who serves in ministry with you? Who teaches your kids so you can enjoy church? Who watches your little ones so you don't have to? So you don't have to change diapers in the nursery. Praise God, I don't have to do that. Who patrols your property right now as you sit in church to keep you safe?
Amen.
Who works behind the scenes to seat people and keep the service moving properly? The ushers. Who totally botches every service in a Baptist church? Sound men. Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. But there, you know, how much praise and recognition, honestly, do sound men get? When if their ministry isn't working right, we don't enjoy the service at all. Are we recognizing people? Are we recognizing people that prepare and sing songs to lift your heart toward God?
Amen.
Are we thinking about this? Or who spends hours in preparation for a Sunday school lesson for you? You know, the pastor that hired me was Pastor Dave Smith, and he told one of our members, and she relayed this to me yesterday. She said, Pastor Smith would always say, if you come by the office, you'll find that I'm quite often in the bakery. And she's like, what? And he said, I'm in the bakery cooking up something for Sunday. A lot of my time is spent in the bakery. And I wonder how many times we have recognized the people that are spending hours in the bakery. A pastor that stands here and spends hours on four messages every week. That's hours of time. Who prays for you?
Amen.
Who walked in when everybody walked out in your life?
Amen.
Who stayed when everybody else left? Hey, dad that stayed, thank you. Hey, mom that stuck it out as a single mom, and I don't know everybody here, but thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Hey, teenagers who aren't doing their own thing and living against the will of God and against the principles of the Bible, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for doing it right. Thank you for staying. Hey, people that have stayed faithful in church for years and years, thank you.
Amen.
Are we recognizing people who do things for us? See, the two parts of recognition, you got to stop and think and recognize mentally what people are doing, but then you also need to recognize them verbally and say, hey, I want to stop and just say thank you. I told our people yesterday, why don't we go up to people this week and say, you know what, you don't do it for praise, and I'm not just doing it because pastor said so, but I want to thank you for what you do here.
Amen.
I want to thank you for your service. It was Abraham Lincoln on April 14th, 1865. He was assassinated and killed. They went through his belongings, of course, and they found in his pocket several things. They found, and all those things are in the Library of Congress now, they found two pairs of glasses, they found a small velvet eyeglass cleaner, they found an ivory pocket knife, a large handkerchief stitched with A. Lincoln in red, they found a tiny pencil, a brass sleeve button, fancy watch fob, brass, a wallet, a brown wallet with a $5 Confederate bill in it. Random things. Do you know what else they found? They found 9 newspaper clippings. And what people have said about them, historians have said, it was some of the most eloquent words ever written about Abraham Lincoln. And he had those newspaper clippings in his pocket. You say, well, why would he do that? Because he had a lot of people recognizing all the wrong. Had a lot of people recognizing all the bad and disagreeing, that he wanted to know that there was somebody out there that recognized the good. Amen. And everybody needs that. It's like the little boy who went to his father and said, hey, Dad, let's go outside and play basketball. I'll shoot and you say wonderful. We need to recognize people. Sometimes I think we treat it like a roller coaster. I hate roller coasters. Okay, I live 16 miles from Disneyland. I'll do everything there, but anything other than that is courting death, and I'm not for that, okay? So it's just a death wish, and I want to live. So anyway, but I went to, in Chicago, I lived in the Midwest my teenage years, and there's a Six Flags there, and my sister somehow got me on a roller coaster called the Raging Bull, 200-foot straight drop. I mean, just you go over the hill, and, you know, straight, just, I think the ground opens, you just go right to hell, I think, on that ride. It's horrible. And I don't remember much about it, but I have PTSD. But I do remember going up on the top of that thing, and as I'm at the top, looking down and just seeing little bitty people like ants. You can't recognize anybody. You know, a lesson for me sometimes is I think that when we get so high on ourselves, whoa, we don't recognize the people beneath us. Amen. We need to be careful for our pride. We need to make sure that we're not expecting people to serve us. Someone hands you a piece of pie tonight, thank them. Amen. And then say, this is the wrong one. No, I'm just kidding, but be thankful. So the first group of people are those who need you to recognize them. Quickly, go to Esther chapter 2. I want to talk about one more group of people. The book of Esther, if you go to the middle of your Bible is Psalms. If you go backwards a couple books, you'll hit Esther right before Job. So Esther chapter 2, let me just give you this thought quickly. In Esther chapter number 2, we have Mordecai. His cousin was Esther. Esther marries the most powerful man in the land, Ahasuerus, who was the king. And look at Esther chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible says this: in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth or angry and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. So she told the king and said, hey, my cousin Mordecai said this. And so when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles of the king. Mordecai must have overheard this plot. He hears that they're going to try to assassinate the king. He goes to Esther, who is the wife of the king, which is his cousin, that he raised, and said, hey, I heard this about the king. She goes to the king and says, my cousin heard this about, you're going to try to kill you. He investigates. It's true. They take the two guys and hang them. Now, tonight, if you saved the president's life, you'd get some recognition. You'd get some recognition. You'd probably get your face on the news. Depending on what side of the country, some would thank you, some would hate you. But, you know, if you did save his life, but I'm telling you what, you'd get some recognition tonight. So I want us to read in verse 24 the recognition that the king gave to Mordecai. So can we read verse 24 together in your Bibles, please? Esther chapter 2, verse 24. Ready? Oh, your Bible doesn't have a verse 24? Yeah, mine doesn't either. How strange. So nothing was done for Mordecai? I told you there's two groups of people. There's those who should be recognized by you, but there's also those who should be recognized but aren't. And maybe you're not in group A. Maybe you'd say, hey, I'm trying my best to recognize people. But maybe tonight sometimes you feel in group B, where you've served God faithfully. You've stayed in the marriage. You've stayed faithful to God. As other teenagers have strayed away, you've stayed. And you feel like, but no one's given me a thank you. No one's saying anything to me. I did a good thing. And I understand, like, you don't do it for that reason, but sometimes we can feel like, where's the thanks? You know, with our kids, we try to teach them, hey, kids, you know, if they do something, and I told this to our churches last night, if we tell our kids something, we'll always say, what do you say? And they'll say, thank you. Come on, say it with a little bit of heart there. Okay, thank you. But you can't do that with adults. You can't go to Brother Berto and be like, Brother Berto, I did this for you. What do you say? What do you say? He's kicking his foot, you know. Thank you. No, come on. No, you don't do that. And sometimes you can be serving and serving and serving and feel like I'm getting no party, no parade, no pomp and circumstance. And I don't think, again, that's not why you did it. Mordecai did not serve the king so he would get recognized. And we should not serve the king so that we get recognized. Now, I want you to take your Bible to the last place. Go to Esther chapter 6. Esther chapter 6, give you one or two sentences here and we're done. Esther chapter 6. I want to read quickly some verses here. Esther chapter 6, verse 1. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. He said, I can't sleep. Give me something boring to read. Give me the history book. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Hey, what do we do for this guy who saved my life? Then said the king's servants and ministers to him, there is nothing done for him. So then Haman, the bad guy, comes into the gate there, and he says, who's out in the gate? The king says that. And they said, oh, Haman's there. He said, bring Haman in. And the king said to Haman, he said, now, what should we do to somebody who the king really wants to honor? And Haman literally thinks, well, who would the king want to honor but this guy? Because I'm amazing. And so he says, you know what you ought to do, king? Here's what you ought to do. I'm just off the top of my head here. You probably thought about this before, but it's off the top of my head. Let's put him on a horse, your horse. Let's get your robes on him. Let's put a crown on his head and parade him through the streets and say, this is the guy, and this is what the king does to those he wants to honor. Now listen, look at verse, if you would, verse number 9. I'm sorry, verse 10. Then the king said to Haman, make haste. And Haman's ready. He's ready for this. Recognition that he thinks he deserves. Make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, his mortal enemy. Do so to Mordecai that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all thou hast spoken. Listen, in all of Scripture, there has never been a bigger bubble popped than Haman's bubble at this time. Never. Mordecai, and I'm finishing, so let me just get your attention for 60 seconds here. Mordecai didn't get recognized at first because it wasn't the right time according to God's plan. God was using this recognition to Mordecai. But his efforts would get recognized, but not till later. And you may feel like you're the only one serving, you're the only one doing right, or whatever, I'm serving. You know, where's the robe for me? Where's the horse for me? Why is my life hard? I'm a Christian. And I know that most people don't feel that way as Christians, but sometimes we have a pity party, let's be honest. But what I want to say to you is this, that down here on this earth is not the right time for you, according to God's plan, to get that recognition. Not down here on this earth. But one day, if you are faithful, there will be a crown on your head. And it won't be given to you by King Ahasuerus, some lowly king of earth. It will be given to you by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you that when you get to heaven and you do get that crown that God gives you, that Christ gives you, you're not going to want it. You know what you're going to do? You're going to take that crown off. And you're going to give it back to the one who wore the crown of thorns for you. Amen. That's what you're going to do. And so tonight, maybe you feel like, hey, you know, I'm serving in obscurity. I've got some unnoticed fruitfulness. I'm serving. I'm not doing it to be thanked, but sometimes a recognition would be nice. Can I just remind you? And I know you're not doing it for that reason, but it will be worth it all in heaven. God is keeping perfect records. You just stay faithful. What about people when they leave? People left our church by the droves in COVID. but some stayed. Some left for good reasons, some I don't think did. But I thank God for people that stay. I thank God for people who just keep serving God, who keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ. So maybe tonight there are some people that you need to look at tomorrow and say, you know, Mom, thank you for what you did today. Thank you for making this meal. Thank you for setting the table. Thank you for a warm home that you've given to us. Dad, thank you. Brother, sister, thank you. Pastor, thank you. Sunday school teacher, thank you. And maybe we ought to be recognizing what other people do. And then maybe for some of us, we need to be okay with not getting our recognition here, but being okay with laying it up in heaven. Because we do it for the praise and honor of Jesus Christ.